warm welcome this morning.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, my friend.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Shall we stand together? I've been looking forward to this. I really have been. I thought, you know, I'm going to get out of the rain and come to the sun. What's with this? Father, I thank you that we can come to the sun, your son. And we stand in honor of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the way that Jesus has been honored in this place and pulsates from this place in a way that has impacted literally the world. Keep blessing, Father, I pray, this congregation. Keep using this group to express your heart, to share the grand, great good news. Father, I thank you for this day that we can share this time too. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to Calvary Chapel at Chino Hills. So, Lord, we just open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, Father, do your work in the way that you desire to. Amen, amen, amen. You can plop down and turn with me to 1 Corinthians Chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, and he said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Tomorrow, as Jack was referring to, tomorrow, as you all well know, is Memorial Day. A day when parades will be happening, when speeches will be given, when hot dogs will be eaten. In fact, 150 million hot dogs will be consumed tomorrow alone. It's a day of commemoration, as Jack alluded to. And as he was sharing, as he was saying what he said, my mind went to this passage, and I want to key on this passage to share with you. You see, as Jack alluded to, Jesus Christ is the ultimate soldier. He is the one who, as Jack said, shed his blood for you and for me, gave his life that we might be free. Jesus, our hero, Jesus, our savior, Jesus, our Lord, our love, our leader. He laid down his life that we could be set free and live eternally, as Jack was pointing out to us. Now, here's what strikes me about that. Jesus said, "This is what I want you to do as a memorial unto me, in remembrance of me. Not build some kind of a statue or have some kind of a convocation or parade or whatever it might be. What Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me is profoundly simple. And it's simply profound. He said, take of the bread and the fruit of the vine and enjoy. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed on behalf of you. It's so simple. The memorial, the Lord's table, communion. So profoundly simple and simply profound. You see, communion, this memorial that the Lord has given to you to enjoy today, tomorrow, any day, each day, every day, by just taking the fruit of the vine, a little grape juice, and a bit of bread, and doing this in remembrance of Him, is something which is dynamic, amazing, important, powerful, and potent. You see, it is done so, first of all, as a celebration. To celebrate the fact that, hey, we have been set free. We are forgiven. This is my body broken for you. The blood that was poured out on behalf of you. Communion, memorial that the Lord established for you and for me to remember what He's done to set us free. It's to be a celebration. A celebration? Too often we look at communion as being something which is only sober and somber and ritualistic. But that's not what was taking place in the early church. For you Bible students who understand the context of 1 Corinthians 11, the passage which we just read from, Paul was concerned because, my, the early church, the believers there at Corinth, were celebrating, but they took it too far. They were actually getting drunk on the wine. They were getting drunk at the table. It wasn't supposed to be. And Paul says, no, no, no. You've taken that too far. But here's what I want you to take note of. Here's what I want you to see. Because of that, where they misused it, it does imply, it does tell you and me that it wasn't some kind of somber, sober thing. It was the agape feast, the sharing of a meal. And in the midst of that, they took the cup and they held the bread to celebrate. Now, they took it, like I said, to an extreme. And Paul said, don't go in that direction too far. But the point is, it is to be, communion should be, communion must be, it ought to be, a celebration. To celebrate what? Hey, to celebrate that I am forgiven. Jesus says, now do this in remembrance of me. If I died and I said to my kids, now when you get together, if you get together, as you get together to remember me, I wouldn't say I want you to be sad and somber and sober and bummed and blue. I would say, if you get together, when you get together, and my name comes up, I hope there'll be great joy and happiness and a celebration of my life to whatever degree you can celebrate it. I wouldn't want them to be sad, oh, remembering Dad. I would want them to be saying, oh man, Dad said this, or Dad did that, or wasn't. That's what I would desire. So to our Lord, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. To celebrate what? To celebrate the fact that you are forgiven and you are free. Man's greatest need is God's greatest deed. Man's greatest need, gang, is forgiveness. God's greatest deed is forgiving. Man's greatest need is forgiveness. Ask Paco, true story, about 20 years ago in Mexico City. A man and his son, who was about 18 years of age, had a falling out, an argument. And the boy stomped out of the room and left the house in anger, in rage, and ran off. His father didn't know where his son went. There was no communication taking place. And the son, you see, knew that he was in the wrong. He was caught in a certain sin that he had done. And he ran out. He ran off in a rage, upset. His dad missed his son. The son's name was Paco. True story. And the dad took out a full-page ad a week later in the Mexico City Sun-Times. And in this full-page ad, it simply said, "Paco, I miss you. All is forgiven. Meet me in Central Park tomorrow at noon. I want to talk to you and bring you home again." Well, the reason it became a noteworthy story is the next day, 800 Pacos showed up in Central Park, all hoping that it would be their dad who said, "All is forgiven. I want to talk with you and bring you back home again." Man's greatest need is forgiveness. Everybody you know, everybody you're linked with, everybody you work by, everybody you go to school with, understand this. They're haunted and hounded by their past. God's greatest deed is in meeting man's greatest need, which is forgiveness. God did that by sending his son himself to die on Calvary's tree that we might be forgiven. It's his greatest deed. Oh, you might say, creating is God's greatest deed. Not so. To create, God said, "Let there be," and boom, there was. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said, and bang, there she be. But you see, to redeem you, to forgive me, to cleanse us, it wasn't simply a word that he could speak. It was a work that he must do, to die in our place, to die for me and for you. He bled. He bled that my sins might be washed away and cleansed. The Bible says, "For the soul that sins must die, and the wages of sin is death." Jesus Christ took my sins, yours too, and the sins of all humanity. He covered our sins. He cleansed our sins. He's washed our sins. And when he hung on that tree, he bled for you and me, fulfilling the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, when the blood was taken from the sacrificed animal. And it was taken by the high priest into the holy place and sprinkled there on the mercy seat, that top lid that covered the Ark of the Covenant, sprinkled on that mercy seat 7 times. And the high priest would then come out and pronounce to the people waiting out in the courtyard of the temple, "Forgiven," you see. And they would celebrate and worship. We're free. We're forgiven, in their case, for another year anyway. Why sprinkled 7 times was the blood on the mercy seat? Because 7 is the number of completion. You are, I am, all of us were completely forgiven. You see, when Jesus hung on the tree on Calvary's cross, he bled from 7 places. His head, his hand, his hand, his side, his back, his foot, from 7 places. No wonder the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in Leviticus in the Old Testament. 7 times on the mercy seat. 7 places the Lamb of God bled for you and me on Calvary's tree. Why? Because we're forgiven completely, perfectly. What do you mean? How could I be forgiven, you might say? I've handled stuff I shouldn't have handled. I've touched things I shouldn't have touched. Jesus said, "I've got you covered. I bled from my hands. Your sins are washed away." You might say, but I've walked into places I shouldn't walk. I've stood in places I shouldn't be standing. Jesus says, no problema. I've got you covered. I bled from my feet that you wouldn't be defeated, you see, that your souls would be washed, that you wouldn't need to feel like a heel any longer. You are forgiven. You are free. No matter where those feet have taken you previously. But you don't know what's going on in my brain. My thoughts are so corrupt. My imagination so wicked. I'm so lustful or whatever it might be. Jesus would say, hey, I bled from my head. You're covered from all sins, not just external sins, but the internal stuff that others don't see, but that you know is going on all too frequently. I bled from my head. But Lord, I've turned my back on you time and time again. I don't mean to, but I constantly do. The Lord would say, hey, I've got that covered too. I bled from my back, you see. But Lord, you don't know what's in my heart. I'm bitter at them. I'm mad at him. I'm angry with her. My heart inside is just so black. Jesus would say, that spear pierced my side and blood came out from my side. You're forgiven. I've got you covered from head to toe, front to back, inside and outside. You are forgiven. You are free. You are cleansed by the blood, Jesus would say, that I shed for you on Calvary's tree. Communion is to be a celebration. That's why he said, I can't wait to have this meal with you, he said to his disciples, speaking of that Last Supper of communion. I can't wait to break this bread and hoist this cup and share with you. And doing so, you'll remember what I have done for you with great celebration. You're forgiven. Past sins, present sins, future sins, it's all been paid for. You are free and forgiven. The slate is clean. Celebrate. Hoist the cup. Cheers, you see. Communion is to be a celebration. And I do that constantly. But it's not only to be a celebration, it's also to be an examination. An examination? Yes. Paul would say in our text, he says, but let verse 28, a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I celebrate the fact that I'm forgiven. But I also take time for examination. What? Lord, search my heart. Show me where those areas are that need to be confessed to you. Now, here's the key. Listen to me. This is really important, church. Confession is not morbid introspection. It's not meant to make you, to make me, to make us feel bad and blue. Confession has a very specific purpose, or purposes, I should say. Confession is important. And if you haven't been engaged in confession lately, hey, this is a very practical, potent key for renewal of your soul and spirit, you see. Confession, homo legeo in the Greek. Homo means the same, like homogenized milk or homosexuality. Homo means the same. Legeo means to speak. It means that you speak the same. You say what God says about that thing, those actions, that thought, that addiction, whatever it might be. It doesn't mean you promise never to do it again. Because that's foolishness. In me, my flesh dwells no good thing. Paul would say, what I don't want to do, I do. What I do want to do, I don't. Oh, wretched man that I am. What is confession? It means I'm speaking what you say. Lord, that attitude that I have towards them, That activity that I engaged in yesterday, whatever it is, I say what you say with specificity and thoughtfulness. It is sin. It's not good for me. It's going to be harmful to me. It's going to damage those around me. I agree with you. Confession. When I am having communion as I do each day, with just a piece of bread and a cup of the fruit of the vine, hoisting the cup, holding the bread, I'm forgiven. But I also say, now, Lord, examine me, search my heart. And I wait on the Lord. And he reminds me of those areas that need to be confessed. For what purpose? What's the reason? If we're forgiven, what's the reason? Number one, confession is essential for appreciation. What do you mean appreciation? Remember in Luke chapter 7? Remember the story? Jesus was at the house of Simon the Pharisee. A woman of ill repute came to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair. She was a lady of the streets. Simon the Pharisee sat there and thought to himself, hey, if this man Jesus was a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman she is. The question is, Mr. Simon the Pharisee, how do you know what kind of a woman she is? You're speaking quite knowledgeably about that, quite frankly. And Jesus knew what Simon the Pharisee was thinking. And Jesus said to Simon the Pharisee, let me ask you a question, Simon. A man owes his master 10 bucks. And the master forgives him of that debt. Another man owes the master 1,000 bucks. And the master forgives that man of his debt. Which of those two are going to love his master the more? Simon the Pharisee said, well, the guy that was forgiven 1,000 bucks. Jesus said, right. The one who is forgiven much, what? Loves much. You will not, I will not, we will not have much love for the Lord unless we realize how much we have been and are being forgiven by the Lord. The one that's forgiven much loves much. Well, are you saying, John, that I should go out and sin a lot so I can love a lot? No, you already sin a lot. You already sin plenty every day. The problem is we just don't think about it, acknowledge or remember our sin. This is why confession is so important. To constantly, continually, daily confess, oh Lord, I got mad at that person. Oh Lord, I was disrespectful to that guy. Lord, I say what you say. That's not right. It is sin. With specificity and articulated thoughtfulness. Not just generalities, forgive me for the sin I've done today. That doesn't cut it. That's not what confession is. Confession means you specifically say about that thing, Lord, I agree with you. That's not right. It's less than what it should be. It's just plain grody or gross or wrong. I agree. And I agree with you that I am already forgiven. I don't need to say, please forgive me. Lord, you have forgiven me. I confess it as sin, and I confess that I am forgiven because you said, tetelestai on the cross. It is finished. The work is done. The price is paid. And I realize, oh, I appreciate that. If you are not one who confesses your sin constantly, you're not going to love Jesus as much as you ought to, quite frankly. When you're in constant confession, I don't mean general stuff. I'm talking about specific things all throughout the day. And when you hold the cup and hold the bread, hey, again, Lord, I'm aware of this. You're reminding me of that. That I might know how much I have been and am being forgiven. And I love you, Lord. I can't help but, as Jack was saying, lift my hands to you and express my heart of appreciation toward you. I can't help it, you see. A lot of people, a lot of Christians that you know, maybe some in here right now, are wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's a good thing. But the real issue for many of us is not so much being filled, but rather being emptied. Emptied of sin. That's already been paid for, but getting rid of that through confession. It's already paid for, it's already gone, but it's still going to weigh on my soul, bog me down, clog me up, you see. But the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which leads me to the second point. Not just appreciation, how much I've been forgiven, but liberation to get freed up from that sin. What do you mean, liberation? Remember Jesus there in John chapter 11? He went to the tomb of Lazarus, who was all wound up and bound up in grave clothes. And he knew what he wanted to do. And he said to Mary and Martha, Mary and Martha, your brother Lazarus, in that grave, behind that stone, roll away the rock. Roll away the stone. Martha says, but Lord, he stinketh. I like that. 4 days he's been in there. Lord, he stinks. The Lord said to Mary and Martha, anyway, roll away the stone. Your job is to expose the stink, expose the stench. All bring life, all set him free. But your job, your part, you see, is to roll away the stone. That's what confession is. It's roll. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. It stinks. I don't want to think about that. It smells. The Lord says, I am going to set you free. You're already forgiven, but I want to set you free practically. You roll away the stone and I'll call it out. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. I don't know who was first, second, and third, but Lazarus was fourth. He came forth. He came out. He came out. But it didn't take place until Mary and Martha did what they were told to do, roll away the stone. So too for me, so too for you. When you have communion, I hope you'll have it a lot. Yeah, it's a celebration. I am forgiven. Hoist the cup. Enjoy the meal. But also examination. Search my heart, Lord. Remind me. Reveal to me. Show me those areas with specificity and exactingness. Not generalities and spiritual jargoning. Show me the things that I have been involved in that are going to slow me down, hold me back, or hurt the people around me needlessly. Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, as I mention these things that you're convicting me of, that you're revealing to my soul, that you're reminding me about, I realize how much I am being forgiven and I love you tons. How could I not? And Lord, in the very act of confession, something is being worked out, like Lazarus coming forth. Confession, listen to me, confession, listen to me, confession, it's not just appreciation for how much I've been forgiven, but it's liberation from the sin that I've been in bondage in. Confession, I don't exactly know how it works, but it does. When you confess your sin, it sets you free to a little greater degree than you were previously. When you hide it and you don't talk about it to the Lord, you don't deal with it at the table, you remain bound and behind the stone in secrecy. But when you confess, somehow you find yourself being brought forth and being set free like Lazarus. Confession is for liberation, you see. Communion is for liberation when you come to the Lord's table and examine yourself and wait on Him and let Him remind you and talk things through with specificity and thoughtful articulation, you see. Jesus, the same night that He served this meal and said, "With great joy I do this," He also did something else. He washed their feet. He came to Peter. You know the story. And Peter said, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Jesus said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part with me, no intimacy, no real fellowship, you see." "Well, then," Peter said, "give me a bath from head to toe." "Oh, no, no, no," Jesus said. In John 13, "You don't need to be washed from head to toe. You're already clean. It's just your feet." What does that speak of to you and me as the Lord was in that upper room around the table of communion? It means I've already been washed. You too, washed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed by the water of the Word. We've been washed in the baptismal fount. We've been washed. All that counts. But our feet get dirty. We don't need to be born again or saved or come forward once more. No, we have been forgiven. We're washed and clean. But we walk through the world, in the world, and we pick up the dirt of the world. And so Jesus says, "You're clean. You don't need to get saved again or born again. You've already been saved and born again. You're already clean, but your feet are dirty." That's what confession does. That's what takes place at the memorial on any given day that we celebrate what He's told us to do. Hey, communion. See, my feet get cleansed. I know I'm clean in His sight, but Lord, practically my feet stink. I've picked up the dirt of the world. I've stepped in it. I've got caught up with it. And now, Lord, I know that in this way, You want to wash my feet to set me free. And I thank You for that. One last point and I'm through. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my memorial. Not parades or hot dogs or monuments or statues. Just take a bit of bread and a cup of the fruit of the vine and celebrate as you hoist the cup, as you eat of my body. Celebrate the fact that you are forgiven of every sin, past, present, and future sin too. It's all been paid for by me. Do this in remembrance of me. Celebrate. Not only celebration, also examination. And while you're here, talk things over with me as we share dinner together, the Lord would say. Talk to me about those things that I remind you of in this moment, at this time. Specifically, talk it over with me. Confess, homologeo, say, "Oh Lord, that's not right. It's a dumb thing. I'm really stuck," whatever it might be. And watch and see how much appreciation you'll have for me, because I will whisper in your soul, "You're forgiven." But not just appreciation, but liberation. And in your confessing that, I'm going to be setting you free to an even greater degree. All this is in play in the memorial that He gave to you and me. But there's one more thing, not just celebration, not just that time of evaluation or examination, but number three, lastly, anticipation. Anticipation, you bet. Jesus said, "Take, eat, take, drink, for as often," verse 26, "as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, proclaim the Lord's death until He," what, gang? "Comes." You're saying, "Oh, I'm clinging to the cross, knowing that You're on the way. You're coming again." It's anticipation. I'm going to do this until that day when You catch me up and You take me home. I'm going to do this constantly, thoughtfully, celebration, examination, and in anticipation. Because Jesus said, I am not going to drink of this cup again until I drink it with you on that day, in that place, at my heavenly banquet table that I'm preparing for you one day not far away. Anticipation. One day, my, oh my, oh my, there'll be no more need for examination. Because when we see him, as we sang earlier, we shall be like him. What's going on today? Hey, true story. A missionary couple 42 years ago made their way to Brazil, to the Amazon jungle. They were a young couple. The first week that they were there in the Amazon, they were in their little tiny missionary hut, really. And they walked in. After walking outside for a while, they came in and they saw there in their front room a giant snake. Massive snake, humongous. They freaked out. They ran out and they went to a guy that was passing by and said, there's a giant snake in our house. And the guy said, okay. And he went to his shed and got a machete, went in the house and chopped off the snake's head. And then the couple said, okay, thanks so much. We didn't know what to do. Thanks so much for helping us. Thanks a lot. We're going to go. No, the guy said, don't go back in yet. He said, the snake is dead. His head's been cut off, but his body doesn't know it yet. And for the next 30 minutes, that couple stood there and heard crashing and banging and breaking and all kinds of stuff from their house because the body of the snake was still reacting, was still moving. Even though the snake was dead, it was still filleting around, smashing stuff up, even though it was dead, until the body realized it had no head, you see. And this missionary wrote about that event and said, you know, as a young missionary, it hit me right then. That's exactly what's going on spiritually. Satan, that old serpent, Satan the snake, he's been dealt a death blow on the cross of Calvary. He has had his head crushed like Genesis prophesied it would be. Bruising Jesus' heel, it's true, but the serpent's head was cut off. You know the story, most of you. And yet, even though he's dead, so to speak, the battle's won, it's true. He's still thrashing around for a while, banging stuff up, causing some havoc in me and you and the world that we live in, but not for long. Not for long. He's a defeated foe. And when I have communion, I realize celebration, my sin is forgiven and paid for. Examination, Lord, you want to set me free as I do this in remembrance of you and just have dinner with you day by day by day. But anticipation, one day there'll be nothing more to confess. The old snake is still banging around a bit, causing problems, but one day, my oh my, he'll be cast into the lake of fire permanently. And Lord, one day I'm going to see you. And when I see you, I shall be like you. No more snake thrashing around me or in people that I care about or am linked to. Happy day that's going to be. And I leave that memorial service, Memorial Day, communion, and I go on my way rejoicing. I would ask of you to consider at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, having every day be Memorial Day. When you celebrate and commemorate, celebration and examination, when you dine with him, in anticipation, one day I'm really going to be with thee, Lord. Do this as often as you do it. Do it in remembrance of me. Memorial Day that ought to be not just tomorrow, but each and every day. My prayer for you is that you will understand the potency and power of these things, of confession, of dining with your Lord, talking to your Lord, letting him search your hearts constantly and letting him let you know how much he loves you passionately. It's called communion. Do this in remembrance as a memorial of me. And be free. Cheers, everybody. Cheers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Oh, I don't want to embarrass John at all, but you guys ought to know the behind-the-scenes stuff, right? This morning, and this is normal. This is John, normal. He says, I'm going to go out there and worship. I'm just going to listen to what the Lord has to say, and you'll pick up on the message, and, they can make recordings of it or whatever, but no notes. Listening to the announcements, listening to the challenge, listening to the Spirit, he comes out and gives a message like that off the top of his heart. And I love it, John, how we were praying before service. Lord, I prayed for John. Lord, just bring out of his heart what's in his heart. And I love that. I love the practicality of the Holy Spirit. And how timely that this Wednesday, if you have never gathered for us for communion, you come this Wednesday. Christian, come. The lights are down low. It's all worship. It's all communion. It goes on for about an hour and a half. It's better than anything that you could do that day or night. It's awesome. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for John. His ministry, his influence over all of us, and not only us, but beyond here, the nation and the world, as you have taken his voice and that treasure that's been in his heart since the day as a young boy he gave his heart to you, Jesus. I remember him telling that story. And Father, he's been a blessing to us. And continue to use him mightily and his sons as they serve you now. What a wonderful brother. Lord, we pray that as we have been challenged to recognize and meditate and accept the memorial of Jesus Christ, that today, right here, right now, the truth of what John was saying, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave, not only for our salvation, but for our justification. That it really makes sense for all of us to open our eyes to what is the best news ever. And that is, you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't bargain for it. Many of us have tried all that and come up empty-handed. But when we yield to the gospel truth that John gave us this morning, wow. Freedom, that the Son of God came and died on the cross in our place to set us free. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right now, right where you're at, I'm not asking you to join this church. You can't join it. You can only show up at it. So I'm not asking you to join. We don't want anything from you. We just would invite you to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, to have your sins washed away on that mercy seat John spoke about, and to live a life now celebrating. It's not churchianity, my friends. It's not any clique or club. Do you know him? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to cast your vote this morning for Christ. Will you slip your hand up? I'll look across the sanctuary. No one else has to be looking. But if you're saying yes to Jesus this morning, will you raise your hand? If what John said made sense to you and you have never accepted Christ, will you put your hand up right now and accept him today? Don't let that moment pass. anybody in the auditorium in the sanctuary this morning where God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're all Christians already and you're ready, but maybe today there's a little bit of doubt in your heart and you're not sure. God bless you in the back. Anyone else? You can put your hand down back there. Anyone else? God bless you right here. And over here to my right. God bless you. Over here to my far right. God bless you. Anyone else? Awesome. Church, let's all stand together and let's pray this prayer. Those of you who raised your hands, pray this simply. It's not a magic prayer, but if you mean it, the Lord will hear you. Those of you who raised your hands, simply pray, "Dear Lord, come into my life and forgive me of my sins today. Past, present, and future sins, I lay at your feet. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I believe in you today. I surrender. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Save me, Lord." In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.